Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and we're going to be talking with David Snell. He's Director of Retirement Services for the National Active and Retired Federal Employees, and David is a former official of the Office of Personnel Management, and he knows his business. David, are you with us?
Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for being with us today.
Is this Mike or is this Ken the
copy boy? This is Mike, not Ken the copy boy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I did a blog today for WTOP about my experiences at the Washington Post, but that's for another time, another place. I hope Ken either has a sense of humor or he's dead. And I've been getting a lot of emails from federal retirees and people who are nearing retirement, and they always tense up this time of year because this is when you have to, the open season, as you well know, for the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, the health insurance open season begins in next month, and it runs through December, and people are going to have to pick their health plan. Most people don't do anything. I think only about 6% of people switch plans. Walton Francis, the world's leading authority on it for Washington Consumer Checkbook, says that 40 to 50% probably should be changing plans, but very few do. But the retirees and near retirees look at this carefully because of the Medicare situation. And in particular, and Will Shakespeare coined the phrase to be or not to be. And in this case, it's a Medicare Part B. Would you explain, if we, without getting too deeply in the weeds, what Medicare, what Part B is, and then we can talk about whether federal retirees should buy it or not?
Sure. Simply put, Part B is part of the original Medicare, which was Part A, hospital, and Part B is the medical portion of it. That's the portion that will cover your doctor bills, tests, anything having to do with medical services. So Part B will cover up to its approved amount those costs to you for those services.
Now, you have to buy Part B, is that right?
That's right. Part A is automatic, and most people have been paying for it through their payroll deductions as employees. Part B is comes with a monthly premium, but it's also voluntary. You don't have to take Part B. A lot of folks we get calls from ask, "Am I required to enroll in Medicare Part B?" And the answer is, unless you're under TRICARE and want to go to TRICARE for life, or you want to go into Medicare Part C, which is a different program, no, you don't have to enroll in Medicare Part B when you become age 65.
Now, if I'm a federal retiree or about to retire, 65, eligible for Medicare, it will cover some of these expenses that are now covered by the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program plan. But what about, what are the pros and cons of getting Part B? The con, I guess, obviously, is the cost of it. It's be $1,000 a year for a couple. So if money is an issue for you, this is something you really need to look at. Why should somebody buy it or not buy it?
Well, it depends on their medical needs and their financial needs, as you just pointed out, Mike. If they're using their current plan under the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, they're using that a lot. If they're spending a lot of out-of-pocket money on that, then I think they should seriously consider enrolling in the Medicare Part B and paying that extra $115.40, I think, is the base premium this and that's per month. I think they ought to seriously think about looking at it. There's some other areas that they might consider enrolling in Medicare Part B. If they're in an HMO plan, HMO plans under the federal program are the most likely to drop out of the federal program, and they can do that at almost any time of the year, which leaves the enrollees in that HMO scrambling around for coverage. The rules allow them within a certain amount of time to elect another coverage, and in some cases the Office of Personnel Management will deem them into a comparable option of Blue Cross and Blue Shield. But because of that, if you have Medicare, that kind of serves as a backup in case a situation like that happens.
Yeah, I remember when some plans did go out of business and OPM automatically put the people into a Blue Cross option unless they chose something else. So they never really were without coverage.
Right.
They may have been without a plan, but they weren't without coverage. Now, if money is no object, then I guess everybody would take Medicare Part B and just, you know, the belt and suspenders theory, you know, to be totally covered. But when they tell people to look at your medical situation and whatnot, the thing that would worry me about that is you can't anticipate really anything, a stroke, a heart attack, cancer, or being hit by a bus.
That's absolutely true. I mean, that's the whole idea of insurance. It's to protect your yourself from having to pay catastrophic amounts in the event that something happens. It's all about risk.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I mean, and if people are really worried about that, then by all means, enroll in Medicare Part B. Hopefully, they've not waived their Part A, but. And together, along with the federal program, you'll have about 100% coverage. And, you know, if that helps you sleep at night, hey, that's worth the money.
Yeah, my mother was healthy all of her life. It was a walker. I don't think she got a car until she was about 35, but she was very healthy. But she suffered from dementia in the last few years. And because she had long-term care insurance, she was a retired federal worker, too, but she had long-term care insurance. She had one of the good federal health plans, and she had had Medicare. And our out-of-pockets expenses were minimal in the family as opposed to what they would have been had she only had, like, the insurance itself and certainly not long-term care insurance.
Right. Well, that's a great example, you know, as to why people will want to enroll in Medicare Part B. And as you point out, the long-term care insurance is also part of your financial planning. It should be in the event that something happens, so that your bank account or the family member's bank accounts aren't wiped out, trying to keep you comfortable and with medical care.
Well, I know a couple that got long-term care insurance a couple of years ago, and partly as a joke, but it was also partly to remind their kids that they had it. They sent them a copy of the policy, sent their children a copy of their long-term care insurance policy, and they said, "This is our Christmas gift to you this year. You know, you won't have to be taking care of us." And I thought that was well done.
Oh, that was a great idea. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you really are buying insurance that your family won't be wiped out taking care of you.
Right.
Well, it would seem to me, and again, I'm not an expert in this, but that unless somebody is really struggling financially, that I would recommend that people always get Medicare Part B.
Well, I don't automatically recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
That's because, personally, I don't because Medicare duplicates what you're already getting covered under by your federal plan, and most federal plans are good plans. They cover an awful lot of things, plus they give you coverage for prescription drug benefits, which Medicare Part B does not. But I just don't believe in paying for duplicate coverage if you don't need to.
Right. Well, you know, people can go to the NARFE website, www.narfe.org, and click on, and you have some information for non-members, much more if people are members and can click on this kind of things. David, I want to talk about the subject du jour, the thing of the hour. This time next week, federal workers may be dancing in the streets, and I'm going to ask you why when we come back here from a short break here on Federal News Radio.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Attention civilian employees of the intelligence community and the Departments of Defense and State. You could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com/term life. That's GEBA.com/term life. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. Contract series 83500.
The environmental problems we're facing today are more complex than those of 40 years ago. What is EPA doing to better incorporate sustainability into its decision-making? Why is EPA involved in green chemistry research? Join host Michael Keegan on the next The Business of Government Hour as he explores those questions and so much more with Dr. Paul Anastas, Assistant Administrator, Office of Research and Development within the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Caps fans, hockey season is in full swing.
Doesn't get better than that.
The Caps are hard at work. Can you feel the excitement building? You've been doing your part in building America's hockey capital by extending our consecutive game sellout streak at Verizon Center. Tickets are still available for remaining games, but are extremely limited. So call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singletickets and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Welcome to Beltway Q&A, provided by EMC. Our guest is Dan Doherty, Vice President, EMC Federal. Dan, how important is the storage and backup infrastructure to IT transformation projects like virtualization and cloud?
Storage and backup decisions are critical. Virtualization projects demand infrastructure that integrates with VMware, scales, performs, and are simple and affordable.
So EMC is number one in virtualized environments?
That's right. Twice as many customers are choosing EMC infrastructure for virtualized environments.
Available on GSA schedule through government acquisitions.
Government technology professionals should prepare to attend GovCom 2011, the new trade show featuring government audiovisual communication solutions at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, November 1st and 2nd, featuring nearly 100 leading manufacturers and solutions providers showcasing the latest in audio-video, conferencing, collaboration, control systems, digital signage, and visual display technologies. GovCom will help government agencies and the military boost collaboration, enhance security, improve reliability, and cut costs. GovCom is your opportunity to see cutting-edge communications products, network with fellow technology professionals, and get valuable training from leading experts in government and industry. For more information and your free exhibits pass, visit GovCom2mshow.org and use the code FED. That's GovComShow.org. GovCom is brought to you by Infocom International, the association representing the audiovisual industry. Government IT executives, step into the past to start shaping the future at this year's Executive Leadership Conference in Colonial Williamsburg. The American Council for Technology and the Industry Advisory Council's ELC Conference, October 23rd through the 25th, brings together government and industry leaders to address the acquisition, security, and human capital challenges you face in your increasingly mobile world. Register today at actgov.org. That's www.actgov.org.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with David Snell. He is Director of Retirement Services at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. In the first half of the show, we were talking about the pros and cons of Medicare Part B. And now I wanted to move to a less complicated, a happier subject. David, it's been 2 years since federal retirees, military retirees, and people who get Social Security have had a cost of living adjustment, but it looks like the end is near, correct?
Absolutely. If you remember, back in 2008, the last time there was a cost of living adjustment, it was a big one. It was 5.8%. Since then, the rate of inflation has been such, it has not triggered cost of living adjustment for seniors, people that are retired, and until this year. And it looks to us like about a 3.6% cost of living adjustment will be triggered. And that announcement, I think, is Monday, the 19th.
Yeah, that will be a red letter day for a lot of people because the fact that we've had very low inflation and many months even of deflation, very rare occurrence in this country over the past 2 years, some people appreciate that and they know that inflation is one of the worst things that can happen. But also with health premiums going up and everything else seeming to go up, the retirees are ready for a raise. Now, this increase, and I think it will be announced Monday, I think you're right, you're looking at it to be about 3.6%. What about these people? And this happens every time there is a COLA triggered. I get emails from people, and they say, well, you know what I'm going to do, especially since there's not going to be a pay raise? I'm going to retire December 31st, and I'll get that 3.6% COLA. A great plan, but there's one flaw, right?
Absolutely. You won't get that 3.6% COLA if you retire in December. The COLAs are made effective on December 1st and usually show up in the January 1 for CSRS retirees or for federal retirees. It'll show up in that January 1 payment, which covers the month of December. So in order to have any part of the COLA coming up for 2012, you really have to retire if you're a federal worker in November. And if you retire in November, you'll be eligible for 1/12. It'll be prorated, 1/12 of that 3.6%. So anybody who thinks that if they retire in December, they're going to catch the COLA for this year
It's just not going to work.
They will get, if they retire in December, they will get the full COLA if there is one for next year, but they won't get any of the COLA for this year.
In order to get the full, let's assume it is a 3.6% COLA, in order to get the full 3.6%, which is for CSRS people, when would they have had to retire? What's the latest day they could have retired?
The latest date they could have retired was December 31st of last year.
Okay. So they've missed it. So if they retired this month, they would get, what, 2/12 of 3.6%?
Right. In October, they'd get 2/12. And they would, that's, of course, a lot less. Now, for first votes, those under the newer federal employees retirement system, if they retired on a voluntary retirement, immediate, they're not eligible for a cost of living adjustment until they reach age 62. And if they have been retired for at least 1 year before reaching that age 62, they will get the full cost of living adjustment. But their cost of living adjustment isn't what the CSRS or the Civil Service Retirement System annuitants get. Their cost of living adjustment is considerably less.
They get what they would get 2.6 if the others got 3.6, correct?
Yeah, if the way the rules are, if the increase in the consumer price index is, and that's what we're talking about as far as the COLA, is 2% or less, they will get the cost of living adjustment equal to the CPI. But if the CPI increase is more than 2%, but no more than 3%, the cost of living adjustment is 2%. If the CPI increase is more than 3%, the cost of living adjustment for FERS folks is 1% less than the CPI increase. So what you just said, if it's 3.6, they're going to get a 2.6 if they're eligible for the full COLA.
Right, and again, that's for FERS employees. The COLAs don't start until age 62. It's an important point. But the bottom line is, as small as the amounts are now, if you were to retire this month or in November, in order to get a piece of that cost of living adjustment, all things being equal, it's certainly not worth doing it for that reason alone, is it?
No, and a lot of that cost of living increase is going to get eaten up by other increases in your retirement pay. Health benefit premiums, although they have not, they're not going to rise as high as they have in past, in immediate past years, they're still going to rise some. And so, and you'll get a you'll get a cost of living adjustment if you're due one in your January 1 payment, and then watch out, here comes February 1 payment, and that's going to include the increase in your health benefit premiums.
Sure, understanding that averages are tricky and are simply that. They're the middle of the road. But health insurance premiums on average are going up about 3.8%. And if the cost of living goes up 3.6, that'll sort of wipe that out.
Absolutely. And we get inquiries from people that want to know what happened to their cost of living increase. And these usually come after February 1st. And we ask them about their health benefits, what's planned they're in, and we look and we see that the premium increase pretty much wiped out that gross annuity increase that they received January 1st.
Right, and we found that too. We got emails from some people when we said the average increase was 3.8, even with the qualifier average. One guy in Florida said his HMO is going up 41%. And heard from someone in the Midwest, and their HMO is going up literally 50%. So definitely does pay to shop around. And, David, I want to maybe get you to promise right now that you'll come on the show at least once during the open season and maybe an emphasis on some of the best buys for retired people.
It'll be my pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, that's wonderful. And are you hearing anything? We've just got about a minute left. Are you hearing anything from the Super Committee? There don't seem to be many leaks about this bipartisan deficit reduction committee.
No, they've just started working. And, of course, they have to come up with something by, I believe it's November.
It's right around Thanksgiving, 15, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And I don't, you know, they're just now getting their feet wet in this thing and getting to know each other.
Yeah, no, seems to me nobody's hearing it. David, thank you so much for being. We'll get you back here during open season. Thanks, David Snell, and thanks for everybody listening in. Remember, we're archived on our homepage, so you can listen to this show or any of them anytime. Have a good week. Stay safe.